Well, one more time. Good to see everybody this morning. You supposed to say good to see you too, Mac. Let's try it again. Good to see everybody this morning. Oh, y'all are so kind to me. My goodness gracious. There is a word from the Lord, and we're going to jump into it. You know, typically our first Sundays are seem to be a little long because we have the Lord's Supper, so we're going to spend time doing that for sure. So I'm going to muscle my way through our passage for today. And so I appreciate you going with me. Lift your Bibles or your device, whatever you have. Lift it high and say, this is my sword. Let me hear you. This is my sword. I live by it. I trust its author. And I believe its content. With a great voice, say, Lord, I thank you for your word. Now, with your mouths, give God a praise offering for his word. All right. So we're going to begin a new series today entitled Relationship Rehab. Relationship Rehab. And we all are reminded of our core passage for the year. This year is 2020, a year of spiritual clarity. So our core passage is Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. We're going to read that together. Ephesians 1, 17, 18. It's my prayer that we've been doing it for a month now, so it's going into your long-term memory, and we are establishing another scripture verse for memory's sake. Amen. We're going to keep working at it. So let's read Ephesians 1, 17, 18. Ready and go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. I pray that the eyes of her heart say back at me, I pray for spiritual clarity. Again, Paul speaks this prayer over the church of Ephesus, and he prays for the spirit of wisdom and revelation for one reason, not to know what their mate is thinking, not to know their children's thoughts, not to know what God is doing tomorrow, only for them to know God better. And that has to be the pressing core of why we do what we do, to know God better. Is that making sense for us? For the next month, our core passage is going to be in John chapter 3, verses 3. And to begin this series entitled Relationship Rehab, the title of our sermon today is Jesus and Marriage. Jesus and Marriage. Our core text again is John 3 and 3. So let's read that together. John 3 and 3. We'll keep leaning on John 3 and 3 for the whole month. So this is going to be the core. If you don't get this, you're not going to get anything I have to say in this series. John 3 and 3. Is everybody ready? Let's read it together. Ready and go. Jesus replied, verily, verily. Read it again. Read it again. Ready and go. Jesus replied,
very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.
One more time. Ready and go. Jesus replied,
very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.
Throughout the month, we're going to deal with this relationship rehab from the aspect of what Jesus has to say about relationships. So we're going to take a journey through the Synoptic Gospels to look at Jesus speaking specifically about relationships. And today we're going to take a gander at Jesus and his conversation about marriage. Jesus and his conversation about marriage, okay? Jesus and his conversation about marriage. Look, baby just walked out sick. So, Lord, let's pray for the baby real quick. What's her name? That was Josie. Lord, please heal Josie's stomach and whatever's going on with her system. Just give her balance and satisfy whatever that is. If it's dehydration, hydrate her now, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So there's a little statement that they're going to put on the screen. Y'all put that up because I want you to take a picture of that and put that in your Snapchat and your book face and all that. You cannot start your life until you're born, just as you cannot start your spiritual life until you're born again. You can't start your life until you're born. You have to be birthed. And the same way for your spiritual life does not begin until you are born again. If we have a hard time receiving anything that the Word of God says, it is a sign that you might not be born again. All right, I drove myself to church today, so I'll be all right. I'll say it again. If you have a hard time accepting what thus says the Lord, the question could be, have you really given your heart to him? Now, I understand that we are not some meta-human, so we do have to struggle with understanding, but we should not struggle as hard with acceptance, especially by now. As long as you have been saved, you ought not have such a dogmatic issue with what the Word of God says. And if you do, there is nothing that I will be able to say to you to change your mind, even reading God's word. Because to be born again says that I am accepting who Jesus is. And in accepting who Jesus is, I have to accept what Jesus has said. Is that making sense for us? Amen. So here's a thought. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? For some of y'all who like this stuff, phonetically, just type WDJS. What did Jesus say? We're not going to lean to our own understanding, but we're going to answer a question with Jesus' words. Are y'all ready? It's already going to be difficult because they already read the first part of the scripture, all right? Because in order to deal with marriage, in chapter 5, this same question was asked of Jesus. We're now in chapter 19. So we have these Pharisees that are coming to test Jesus to see if they can get him to say something he didn't say the first time. So they were testing him. But Jesus, being the omniscient one that he is, he knows what people are up to, and he repeats what he says, and he goes into a little bit more detail to help them mess themselves up. All right. So you've got to know what the Word of God says. And when people come and they come and question you over and over, they're just trying to test you and play games with you. But when you speak the truth the first time, the truth will maintain itself no matter how many times they ask. So for all you every now and again liars, stop lying. You got to speak the truth. Because you cannot remember a lie. But it's a whole lot easier to tell the truth. And why lie when the truth will do? So we're in a rehab for the next month. I have invited you, and thank you for accepting the invitation to come to this corporate counseling session. Because in a rehab, we have to deal with our behaviors. In a rehab, you cannot go into the rehab and point blame towards somebody else. You've got to deal with the thing in you that's causing you to say that your actions are justified. And they're not justified if you are bringing hurt and harm on somebody else. All right. I'll say it again. They're not justified if, for your sake, for you to be happy, you in run over everybody else. All right. Okay. So we got to deal with it. And the first level of relationship we're going to deal with is, as here in the text, these Pharisees ask Jesus about divorce. Now, who preaches about divorce? I'll tell you, only a country preacher would bring up divorce and preach from it. But we're going to go there anyway. So I only have two things I want to put on altars of your heart today. Just two things. Because of time, the Lord just gave me two things to put on your heart. And we're going to discuss those, and we'll move on from this place. So we're in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3. And we'll see how far we go. Starting at verses 3. So let's read it. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Verse 6. "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Jesus said no. That's the first point. Write that down if you will. Here's the answer to the question. Because it is not lawful for a husband and wife to divorce for any, y'all reading the text right, I didn't make this up, for any and every reason, the answer is no. Now don't you walk out of here second guessing this. All right? I realize that in dealing with this, we've got to deal with our family's DNA because we have experienced divorce in our families, right? It does not matter your emotional connection to your family. God's word is still God's word. From the original standpoint of where God stands in his creating marriage, it was meant for one woman and one man to come together and be one. All right. Again, John 3 and 3 says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. All right. All right. So you can look stone-faced with if you want to, but the reality is, it is not lawful for God's people to dissolve what God has brought together. So this begs us to ask some questions, right? And I see your foreheads already thinking, well, Rev, what if divorce has already happened? It's done. Ta-da. I mean, that's it. Please don't take the scripture as God is saying that you've got to go back and remarry everybody you divorced. Yeah, multiple or multiple wrongs with that, all right? But what I want you to understand, first of all, is that divorce is wrong. So for all of you that are single with potential history with somebody, you've got to make sure you ask the necessary corrections because divorce is not a buyout for a bad decision. Divorce is not a buyout because you got caught up in emotions because he or she looked cute every time you go out on a date, but that morning figure is like something completely different. And you got caught up in an emotional moment, so now you want a buyout. And so my buyout is, let's just go ahead and let's annul this thing before anybody gets hurt. And that's a lie from the devil because somebody's going to get hurt regardless, right? So I want you to understand, first and foremost, that it is not lawful for divorce, especially those of us whom profess to be Christians. All right? Now I'm going to say it again. That means that you must be willing to put the work in to sustain your I do. Now the problem is we don't want to work to sustain the I do because we feel like, well, I don't like him anymore, so I don't. Some of us feel like, well, he never puts the toilet seat down and I'm tired of reminding him. Yeah. Is it lawful to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Some of you are thinking, well, she still can't cook. She burns boiling water. And I'm just tired of it because by now she ought to be able to do something, right? Remember, rehab is not about your mate. Rehab is about you. What are the things that you are guilty of doing or not doing? So we can't take the moment of pointing the finger at somebody else because we're the other part in this whole union. Jesus says in the answer to the question, he poses a question at them. Jesus is so smart and he's so intellectual that he points back to Moses. Because all Jews respect Moses as one of the patriarchs of the faith. And he says, haven't you read? And having read, he's going back to Genesis and Deuteronomy. Haven't you read that from the very beginning, the Creator made male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his wife and mother and be united together, and two will become one flesh. so that there may no longer be two, but one flesh. So every time you contemplate on divorcing, you're literally saying, God, what the Spirit brought together on our day of matrimony is not strong enough to sustain us. And for whatever reason, I have cause to give life in my mind and spirit has to be good enough for me to walk away from what you said yes to. So I'm challenging us as believing Christians. We cannot allow ourselves to get to the place where divorce seems a plausible thought and idea. And that takes two grown people making grown folks' decisions to fight for what God has joined together. Two grown folks making a grown folks' decision to fight. Malachi talks about how divorce is literally the pulling apart of a body. So if God has joined you together, when you divorce, it's as if you pull apart your body. And when you pull the body apart, it makes all the insides vulnerable to whatever is in the air. It doesn't sound good thinking about it, seeing the inside of a body. But the prophet gives this illustration for the people of Israel because divorce has now become, it's accepted. It's the norm. I mean, you get divorced, I can fall in love with somebody else, you know. Matter of fact, I'll trade it in, get me a younger one. I need certain things. I need somebody to get my needs taken care of. Somebody that can provide my needs. My mama said she wasn't nothing from the beginning. I should listen to my mama. No, that's the problem right there. Shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. All right, some of you mama boys, you can say amen. It's all right. I love my mama too, but my mama can't do for me. She's a sweet thing, she is. I love her. Y'all so saved. Y'all just too saved. Jesus says, no, it is not lawful for a man to leave his wife for any and every reason. Listen, in this particular day and time, you had two rabbinic thoughts. You had the rabbi Shemaiah. And Shemaiah was the rabbi that leaned toward the Orthodox idea, and that he and his crew believed that it was not lawful for any and everything. You just could not walk away from your wife. And you know, this was a male-bent society, so the wife did not have the ability to walk away from her husband. It was only the man that could walk away from his wife for any and everything. And so you have those that believe that it was okay. Then you had another set of thought that believed the standard of now the norm. So it was now accepted. It was an extra cause in a marriage certificate that we could annul this, and all parties can just walk away. The problem with this is, just as this was the norm in Jesus' culture, it's still the norm today in our culture, because we have Christian families that have decided to walk away because they would not be adult enough to sit down and have a conversation. Now, for all my single people, don't shut me out real quick. Don't shut me out. Because the reality is, for you, if you don't contemplate and think about this and percolate on this, you will find yourself in the same plight as many have found themselves today. After being married for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and then now all of a sudden want to walk away and won't sit with somebody because I'm done. I've had enough. Rev, you don't know. You don't know what I've had to deal with. Well, I don't. But if your attitude is this stinking now, how functified has it been for the last 40 years? I'm just saying, we have to think about this stuff, because Jesus says it is not lawful. Alice covered his baby's ears. I'm sorry. sanctified. We have to think about this. Let's go on to the next part of the verse. I only have 2 points. We're on the second point already. Y'all feel all right about it. Verse 7 says, why then, they asked, does Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and say to her, and send her away rather? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. So Jesus says no. Write this down. Man permits, but God says no. Man permits, but God says no. Because Moses gave the men of Israel an option. Here's the reason why I gave them an option. Because their hearts were hardened. Because their hearts were hardened. This was not God's option. Yet God allowed Moses to give the people an option because their hearts were hardened. You have to be very careful, my friends, that we don't allow our hearts to become callous and hardened towards our mate. So that means we have to start talking about these issues. I sit down and talk to some young gentlemen, and they love their new wives so much, they just, whatever she want to do, they just do it. Whatever she come up with, oh, he's like, oh, babe, that's such a, and they just do it. Let's just sell the house and move. We're going to live outside. Oh, well, okay, let's go for it. But the problem is 5-10 years down the road, you have no credibility because you've always been dark silent. And so now they call and say, Mac, I don't know what to do. She won't listen to me. Well, you never said nothing. And there's nothing I can do in an hour session that's going to turn that around because she's used to. And listen, ladies, I'm not coming down to you. There are some, the relationship says on the flip side, that the woman never said everything the husband wanted to do. They just did it. Well, he's a man. Okay. And that means what? There's some dumb dudes out there too, right? And so if you don't address issues first, later on it becomes a hardship. And this hardship now hardens your heart towards your mate. For anybody in this room, please don't believe I'm coming down on you that you've experienced divorce. My heart goes out to you. I sit and I pray for people that have experienced divorce because divorce is ugly. Do you hear my heart with this? Divorce is ugly. And if you know anybody that experienced divorce, it could have been 15, 20 years ago. There's still a place in their heart of how that marriage ended. Now, they may be happy it's over, but there's still a place in their heart for that marriage. Right? So it's ugly. So you have to accept the grace of God to now deal with your hardened heart. Because if you don't deal with the hardness of your heart, there's a great chance that the piece of that hardening will present itself into the new marriage. The statistics say that first marriages in our American culture now, 65% of them, 56% of percent of them end in divorce. A second marriage, it goes up to 67% will end in divorce. A third marriage goes up to almost 96% would end in divorce. So do you know what we have? We have a culture of hurt people. And hurt people do what? And we're not being spiritual enough to sit down and have a conversation about the rudiments of where the hurt comes from. But we're expecting people to act saved and act spiritual. And when they get in the car, they're dealing with the hurt of some person that caused them to be in pain. And I just believe as a Christian church, we got to start dealing with this stuff because it doesn't make any sense. As a church, we don't come down on anybody that's been divorced because it may have been for the best. And I did say that. I'll say it again. We don't come down on anybody for divorce because it may have been for the best. It is never God's design for any of his children that were formed in the imago Dei, in his image, to have to suffer through any type of abuse. So don't you dare walk out of here saying that Max said, you better stay married, even if he knock you out. You better, that's your husband. He's supposed to love him until, no, that's foolish, children. That's foolish. Every day you come home to Vietnam and you think I'm telling you to walk in Vietnam every day? No. That's what we call come on sense. So you have to know your identity in God, right? And my identity in God says that I do not allow anybody to diminish the quality of God in me. But that cannot be your first response. You must be willing to fight for what is needed to be fight for. Now, if the person does not want to fight, you cannot have a marriage by yourself. We're trying to hope somebody this morning. You can't be married to yourself. That's called something else. You can't be married to yourself. So you got to be married to somebody, but they must want to be married also. Two things. It is not lawful for a believing couple to end their marriage in divorce. That's Jesus' words and his words only. And if you accept it, you're either accepting his word or you're not accepting it. The only cause that Christ gives for divorce is sexual immorality. Not because you thought something and you took it to your wife and she now treats you as if you've done it. That's not sexual immorality. That's called accountability. If you have a thought, and you trust your spouse enough to take it to your spouse and say, listen, pray with me. That's called accountability. So now your spouse must be mature enough to see you as her brother in Christ or as his sister in Christ before they see you as their spouse. Doggone it. I'm going to say it again. Because if we're not careful, we don't see our spouse as our brother and our sister in Christ. Just like some of you don't see your children as your brother and sister in Christ. You see them as my child first, so do what I say. And what I think I told you, do that too. But they're your brother and sister in Christ first. It is not lawful for a believing couple to get a divorce unless sexual immorality is on the table. Now, one of the byproducts of sexual immorality is abuse. It's not lawful. It doesn't make sense for you to stay in a marriage where you're getting hit upside your head or getting your hand closed in a door. And if there's anyone in here today and you are experiencing that, and just in case your spouse is here that's doing that to you, you have a church that will come alongside of you and do everything we can to legally and spiritually get you out of that. I'll say it again. We would do everything we can legally and spiritually to get you out of that. But you have to want to leave. I'm not going to bombard myself into your home and come and save the day. And as soon as we get in the car, you're like, Rev, I want him back. Listen, sister. Now, hold on. It's not lawful to walk out in the divorce as a believing couple. But here it is, when someone's heart becomes hard, when someone's heart becomes callous, it is almost impossible to maintain that union. Listen to me real clear. It's almost impossible to maintain that union when someone's heart has become hard. So now what do you do? Glad you asked. Now you have to really become the spiritual mature person you're supposed to be and start praying to God for clarity. I pray that the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. What we have to ask God to do is to soften the hearts of our mates. Did you hear what I said? To soften the hearts of our mates. And if it's God designed for reconciliation, that he will make the pathway clear and straight. He'll do it. If you want that, and the other person wants that, it is possible. But if you want it, the other one doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. Because if you have to make somebody marry you, that means you got to make them stay. Just look at me, don't give it away. Some of y'all look like you've been knowing some folks that have been making people do a whole lot of stuff. And now you tired of making them do it. So now you throwing in the towel, the car, the house, the kids, and the dog. Just take it all. All right. So man permits it, and God still says, now look at the text. Look at verse 8. But Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hardened. The reason why man's heart becomes hardened is because we have now made a lifestyle of disobedience. Whenever man's heart is hardened, it's because we choose to do it our own way. Especially when it comes to the marital relationship, the only reason why it will not work for the now and for the future is because somebody has made the decision that I don't want to do it God's way. And because my heart is now hard, now I live in a place of disobedience. Now listen, this may not hit you when it comes to disobedience for your marriage, but all of us have to deal with this thing of disobedience for our lives in general. If we live in disobedience, we're saying to God that the resurrection of Christ is not enough. My flesh says that I need to get out. My flesh says I have handled as long as I could, now I need a break. But we don't live according to the flesh. We live according to the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine there in excess, but be filled with what? What my big mama told me I ought not take. No, don't be filled with that. You ought to be filled with what? Paul told me that don't give her too much. Don't be too nice to her. I'll listen to my papa. No, don't do that. Be filled with what? No, my grandmama said don't be too nice to your husband. Because if you be too nice, he'll take advantage of you. And grandma was married 5 times. Don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for all our single people here today, if your mate, potential mate, is not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to have a conversation before premarital counseling. Because if you don't have the same source governing both parties, eventually you're going to have some issues. And divorce cannot be the final option to get out of what you said God told you to do. Every marriage I do, I tell a guy, listen, you sure? Before we walk down, I say, listen, you got the last chance. I got a car waiting outside. It's by the door. We can make a run for it. Mike, did I tell you that? Uh-huh. We can make a run for it. We can go. We can get out of here right now. Because once you say I do, things are going to change. As soon as you say it's going to change. So make sure. Are you ready? She's going to be looking at you in a brand new set of eyes, with a brand new set of eyes, lenses. She's going to see you in a different way because you're now praying for her soul, protecting her physical body. Are you ready for this? And if you're not ready for it, don't go down this road. Run, Forrest. Run. Because every time our hearts become hardened and we start thinking that divorce is a route, we're saying to the world that the Holy Spirit is good enough for me to get some stuff, but not good enough to hold me. And that cannot be the plight of our voices to the world. The marriage is the greatest example of God's love for the church. And so if we are the church of Lord Jesus Christ and we're telling everybody, look at us, and the Bible is clear that the marriage is the example, we're telling people that come on to church, but you don't have to accept everything. We call that spot on theology. So whatever spot you want, that's what you hang on. We don't take the whole word, not the whole Bible, Rev. You think we're going to believe the whole Bible? And the answer is, yeah. All right, I'm almost done. Look at this. The text goes on to say it one more time. Verse 8, Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. It was not this way from the beginning. So let me talk to you real quick as my brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying to all of us that we must rebuke this rebellious spirit. Hear me? Hear my heart? This rebellious spirit that says, well, I reserve the right to make the best decision I think for me. This rebellious spirit that says, well, I know me better than anybody else, and I know my limits, so I don't care what anybody says, including the Holy Spirit. Now, we would never say that out loud, because that would sound kind of wrong to say, to tell the Holy Spirit to shut up, right? We would never say that out loud. But our actions are telling the Holy Spirit to shut up. Uh-huh. I feel like I've had enough, and I'm done. She can't boil the eggs. And as Popeye said, I can't stand no more. Listen, if we do that, we're telling the world, we're telling God that the sacrifice of sending your son is not enough to satisfy me satisfying my flesh. I've got to help you out. As if getting a divorce is the answer. As if signing the paper is going to be the answer. Y'all lean in. We're in a rehab, we're counseling. It's not going to be the answer. Do you want me to tell you why? We all asked some great questions this morning. Because you're still there. It's not going to be the answer. Do you know why? Because you're still the common denominator. No matter how many relationships you enter and enter out of, the common denominator in all of them is you. And if you haven't dealt with the part of your heart that's hardened, the callousness of your heart is going to venture off onto your new mate. And you can divorce them. You know who's still going to be there? You. So this sermon is not about your mate. This sermon is about you. This sermon is about you. Have you done what it takes to allow the Holy Spirit to soften your heart? Don't look at him. Look at me, because some of us think we're right about everything. Look, don't give yourself away. Some of us think that we have the brightest idea no matter what the subject matter is. I mean, we know everything about everything. And I look at somebody like, do you hear what's coming out of your mouth? What are you talking about? And the moment somebody brings to our attention, we get all mad. Well, what you saying? I can't say nothing? No, if you keep sounding dumb like that. Big dummy. That's what Esther said to Fred, right? You big dummy. Since if we don't deal with our hardened hearts, we're gonna take that same hardness and project it on to the next person. One more thing, the reason why we got to deal with this, the hardness in us, is because now there are people that are watching you that look just like you. Watching how you deal with their daddy. Watching how you deal with their mama. They may not say anything as a child, as a teenager, but they have a long memory. And you're ready to say no and walk away because you don't feel respected. You're ready to say no and walk away because you're just tired of dealing with that. Never puts his clothes in the hamper. You're just ready to throw it all up and walk away because she never tells you when the gas tank is. Every time you get in the car, you got to stop and put gas in the car. You ready to walk away, and just because every time you get into bed, she already sleeping snoring. And she ought to know it's been 72 hours. And you get all up in your feelings, you ready to turn around and walk away. Because by now, he ought to know I respond to acts of service. And you ready to walk away because by now she doesn't support any of your far-fetched, crazy ideas. And she ought to give you one at least every 10 years. Just go with me. Just let me try. And you're wanting to walk away after God has done all he's done to keep you together. You are willing to lean on a hardened heart other than leaning on the grace of God. My friends, today, once again, this sermon is not about your mate. The sermon is about you preparing your heart. So that your heart is no longer hardened towards any events of the past. Now listen, can we just be honest? It's just us. It's just us here. We're in rehab, so we got to be honest. Even if you don't like your mate today, you better love on him or her for the children's sake. Even if they got on your nerves this morning. And the reality is, flowers ain't the only one. You've got to love them because you know what God said in bringing you together. You have experienced God's power to keep you together. The word says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And that no man includes you. What Jesus says about marriage today is that you got to fight to keep the unity. You got to work as hard as you can to see the love, to see the like, to see the desire of both of you remaining connected as one. Because the result is, if you don't, both of you would experience a life of exposed insides. And no matter who comes your way, you're going to be ultra sensitive because you have been exposed. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters that have experienced divorce because it's hard. Because the moment your new or potential mate says something or does something or you smell something that reminds you of your old mate, you got to deal with the balance of that. Well, this is not him, this is not her, but it sounds just like her. That old crazy ex-wife of mine. That old bull-headed ex-husband of mine. You got to work that much harder. We have couples here that are divorced and have been remarried. And all of them, since they love the Lord, can attest and say, Rev, that's right. It's that much more work. All right. Got kind of quiet about that. So all those that have been married twice can say, Rev, it's that much more work. And then to add to that, now you got children that don't look like me. Y'all do know that's one of that's the number one cause of second marriages ending in divorce. It's because of children. Now listen, y'all listen. We're almost done. Can y'all journey with me? Pardon me for being personal. But if something happened to my wife and she went crazy, it would have to be her because I'm saved. You know, I'm saved. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey. Glory to God. I'm real. I'm saved. Sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and that with fire. And if my wife went crazy and she decided to divorce me, hypothetical, she decided to divorce me, it's going to be hard for the next woman that I think may be my next mate. It's going to be hard. I'm going to tell you why. Because Mackenzie, Michaela, and Demetrius will always come one. And I will have a hard time seeing her children as a priority for me. I'm just telling you. I pray she don't go crazy because I become a eunuch or something. I don't know. And that's why you've got to do what you can to protect what you have now. And for those that have been married multiple times, I pray for you that much more. And when God does bless you with a woman or with a man that's willing to receive your children as their own, you ought to be the main ones thanking God every day. Because that's not normal or natural. It takes us having the power of the Holy Spirit to really do a work on our hearts to receive all that comes with the new relationship. So I'm done. The challenge is for everybody to make sure your heart is not hardened. And how do we do that? By allowing the power of the Lord to do only what the Holy Spirit can do. Break those shackles of bitterness. Break those shackles of resentment. Break those shackles of, am I even worthy of being loved again? Only God can do it. There's a beautiful passage found in Psalm. So y'all turn it real quick. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse number 22. Let's just go to 23. 23 and 24. Psalm 139. 23 and 24. The psalmist writes this. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This sermon is not for you to point fingers at your spouse or your ex or XX or XXX. But this sermon is for you to deal with you about the placing of your heart. Just as important as the muscle of our heart is for our body, that pumps the blood, circulates the blood throughout the course of our veins, your spiritual heart is just as important. Because it pumps the heart, the spiritual blood, through the course of your heart that has been born again. David says, after he had gone through all that he went through, his heart was hardened. Because it took David lived in his sins for over a year, having killed, slept with Bathsheba, killed her husband Uriah. It was over a year and 3 months. He lived with that sin. His heart was hard until the man of God, Nathan, says to him, you are the man. So I challenge all of us today. Don't walk out here pointing the finger at anybody. If your marriage is going to survive, it's going to be because your heart is not hardened. If you're going to survive in the next relationship, you've got to deal with the hardness of your heart today. So the question is, are you willing to deal with the hardness of your heart? Are you really at the place where you're willing to deal with it? If you have been divorced, there's no question. I believe that God has somebody for everybody. And you can recover from a divorce. The Lord has, for you ladies, the Lord has a man that's going to love you and your children. It's just not me. For you gentlemen, the Lord has a lady for you that will accept you and you're not putting the socks in a hamper self. And your children. But is your heart ready? Have you dealt with the hardness of your heart? God says no to divorce. Yet if we have gone through with it, he offers us grace. Anybody here this morning thankful for God's grace? And it may not be because you have gone through divorce. It could just be because we have lived on this earth, period, and we've messed up many times. And if it had not been for the grace of God, so go I. Father, we thank you for the clarity of your scriptures today. That we don't have to make up nothing, but we read what you have already spoken. And so we leave here for sure, knowing that divorce is not an option for believers. Yet if we have done it, you have given us grace to be healed from that decision. And so, Father, we do our part on today. And we give you our hearts on today to do the healing, to do the molding that must be done for the hurt that we have that's still there from previous relationships. Father, we turn it over to you on today. For the anger that's still there from previous relationships, Father, we turn that over to you on today. And if you're by your spouse, would you just grab your spouse by the hand? Your eyes are closed and your hearts are open. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for building our hearts up where we are willing to deal with our part in all these relationships. We love you today. And we know the only way we can satisfy this is by trusting you. So, Father, we give it all to you on today. The hurt, the confusion, the lack of understanding why they did what they did. Apparently, if I don't know by now, I'm not going to figure it out. Father, we're willing to trust you. We're willing to give it all to you on today. So in advance, we thank you for healing. In advance, we thank you for yoking and mending our hearts together. In advance, we thank you for knocking off those shackles from our hearts that would want to prevent us from seeing what you have done in our lives. So, Father, we love you. And if there's anyone here that it's hard for you to get over the pain, get over the hurt, I'm challenging you to draw closer to Jesus. I'm challenging you to look beyond the pain and see the hands of the only God that can heal you. Father, thank you for forgiving us of our sins, of mistakes past, mistakes present, and mistakes future. And we trust you. We give it all to you. So in the sweetness of this moment, Father, thank you for healing our hearts. Focus all you have. Focus all you have on who God is. Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you for meeting the need that I have at that pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Been married for going over 20 years, over 30 years, over 40 years. And I don't want to have my heart to become hard towards my wife because I never spoke. We never sat down to start having meaningful conversations. We just talk at each other. We're not going to get a divorce for any and every reason. And I'm going to do my part to fight for my marriage. The past is what it is. It's gone and it's done. And as a man, I'm not going to be so macho and where I don't feel comfortable going and talking to my wife to humble myself in her to her. That's out the door. We'll humble ourselves to one another for the cause of what God has joined together. Let no man, children included, tear us apart. Nothing. Not even the work in the church. Tear us apart. Nothing. Not even our financial responsibilities. Everybody's trying to work three jobs and make some more money. Do this and do that. Not even that. To tear us apart. Because Father, we trust you. We give our hearts to you, Father. Thank you on today for tearing down these calluses and giving us a brand new start. And we love you.